Question in the post show. We're going to post online at democracynow.org. But your final comment in this last 10 seconds about writing letters to presidents.
It's very important for people to write these letters, send copies to members of Congress or to the press or anyone who you think is interested in the contents of the letter. It's a way to get people involved. And don't worry if you don't get an answer. Send it around to other people, and you'll get people coming to join you in whatever effort you pursue.
Part two in a moment. Ralph Nader, we thank you so much. Longtime consumer advocate, corporate critic, former presidential candidate. His new book is Return to Sender, Unanswered Letters to the President, 2001-2015. He'll be speaking here in New York June 1st at Book Culture. And Juan and I will be in Washington, D.C. at the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church for the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War today and tomorrow. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Matta.
KBOO Portland. The time is 5 p.m. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
Yeah, look 'em all. Yeah, now the
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual Surf Riders Soiree, Thursday, May 7th at the Holocene in Portland. The fundraiser will include an art show, silent auction, raffle, DJ, and screening of two surf films, North of the Sun and The Fortune Wild. Proceeds will benefit the Portland chapter of Surf Riders Clean Water Campaign. Again, that's the third annual Surf Rider Soiree, Thursday, May 7th, 6 to 11 p.m. at the Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery for their Community Tap program. Every month, Hopworks features a local nonprofit organization, and May's Community Tap is your community radio, KBOO. To celebrate, KBOO is holding a kickoff party at Hopworks Southeast Powell location on Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 11 p.m. The whole family is welcome. KBOO will broadcast live from Hopworks, bringing you The Melting Pot and DJ Anjali and The Kid live from the brewery. Hopworks is located at 2944 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and everyone is invited to attend. You can meet other fellow KBOO listeners and consider having some food and drink. That's the KBOO Hopworks Community Tap Kickoff featuring The Melting Pot and Anjali live Tuesday, May 5th at 7 p.m. For more info, go to kboo.fm/hub.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portlanders march for workers' rights in solidarity with International Workers' Day.
Freddie Gray's death has been ruled a homicide. Six Baltimore police officers await charges of manslaughter and murder.
Two female inmates at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility sue the prison over allegations of sexual abuse.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, May 1st, 2015. I'm Linda Olson-Osterland.
And I'm Liam Delta. Baltimore police have taken into custody the man who filmed the arrest of Freddie Gray. The cell phone footage of the arrest of Freddie Gray went viral and led to the protests that have swept through Baltimore and other cities. Kevin Moore filmed the attack on Freddie Gray. Moore was arrested last night along with two members of Cop Watch who were monitoring police activity on the streets of Baltimore. He had been identified by police as a person of interest who was, quote, wanted for questioning, unquote, in relation to the arrest and subsequent death in police custody of Freddie Gray. But Moore had already spoken at length with two detectives in the police department's Office of Internal Oversight and given them his video of the incident. Moore says that ever since the Freddie Gray footage went viral, police have been harassing him and his family. In a similar case of harassment and arrest, Ramsey Orta in New York, who filmed the murder of Eric Garner by police who choked him to death, was recently released after months in prison on Rikers Island. Huerta is still the only person connected with the Eric Garner killing to face indictment. No officers have been charged in that murder, despite the fact that it was caught on film. The prosecutor announced charges against six officers in the death of Freddie Gray, including murder charges for one officer.
The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges. Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Narrow failed to establish probable cause for Mr. Gray's arrest as no crime had been committed by Mr. Gray. Accordingly, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Miller, and Officer Nero illegally arrested Mr. Gray. Upon arrival of the transport wagon driven by Officer Caesar Goodson, Lieutenant Rice, Officer Nero, and Officer Miller loaded Mr. Gray into the wagon, and at no point was he secured by a seatbelt while in the wagon, contrary to a BPD general order. Following transport from Baker Street, Mr. Gray suffered a severe and critical neck injury as a result of being handcuffed, shackled by his feet, and unrestrained inside of the BPD wagon. From Baker Street, Officer Goodson proceeded to the vicinity of Mosher Street and Fremont Avenue, where he subsequently parked the wagon and proceeded to the back of the wagon in order to observe Mr. Gray. Despite stopping for the purpose of checking on Mr. Gray's condition, at no point did he seek nor did he render any medical assistance for Mr. Gray. Officer Goodson returned to his driver's seat and proceeded toward the central booking and intake facility with Mr. Gray still unsecured by a seatbelt, contrary to a BPD general order. The manner of death deemed a homicide by the Maryland State Medical Examiner is believed to be the result of a fatal injury that occurred while Mr. Gray was unrestrained by a seatbelt in the custody of the Baltimore Police Department wagon. All events occurred in Baltimore City, State of Maryland. While each of these officers are presumed innocent until proven guilty, we have brought the following charges. Officer Caesar Goodson is being charged with second-degree depraved heart murder, involuntary manslaughter, second-degree negligent assault, manslaughter by vehicle by means of gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle by means of criminal negligence, misconduct in office for failure to secure a prisoner, failure to render aid. Officer William Porter is being charged with involuntary manslaughter, assault in the second degree, misconduct in office. Lieutenant Brian Rice is being charged with involuntary manslaughter, assault in the second degree, misconduct in office, false imprisonment. Officer Edward Nero is being charged with assault in the second degree, intentional. Assault in the second degree, negligent, misconduct in office, false imprisonment. Officer Garrett Miller is being charged with intentional assault in the second degree. Assault in the second degree, negligent, misconduct in office, and false imprisonment. Sergeant Alicia White is being charged with manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, second degree assault, misconduct in office. While I am committed to transparency to the people of Baltimore and the demonstrators across America, I heard your call for no justice, no peace. Your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of this young man. To those that are angry, hurt, or have their own experiences of injustice at the hands of police officers, I urge you to channel the energy peacefully as we prosecute this case. I have heard your calls for no justice, no peace. However, your peace is sincerely needed as I work to deliver justice on behalf of Freddie Gray.
That was the Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby announcing the charges against the six officers in the death of Freddie Gray.
KBOO reporter Robin Ryan spoke earlier today with Jared Ball, a Baltimore professor, about the situation there in the streets following the days of unrest and curfew.
What is the community's reaction to the news that six officers will face charges for the death of Mr. Gray?
The reactions are a across the board, as I think could be expected. There are many who seem happy and enthusiastic about all the charges that Marilyn Mosby have brought down. One attorney expert that I spoke with said to me that she thinks that based on the amount of the amount and the style of the charges that were brought down, that the prosecutor is serious and wants to end up with some level of conviction, and that this has been taken well by many people in the area. Others are, and I would frankly put myself in this category, are perhaps pleased but a little skeptical and concerned that this will be seen as progress and as an advance, and that this will be seen as in some ways something that quells the righteous anger and indignation felt by so many in this city and in the area, and those who identify with the people here and the conditions and issues that are attached to those conditions. So, as I said, I think the emotions run the gamut, but I think it's safe to say that at least a solid majority are happy that this level of seriousness has been brought to bear as part of the prosecution of these officers involved in killing Freddie Gray.
A lot of talk out there today about the level of support pouring in from communities like New York, Chicago, Ferguson, Missouri. What does that kind of solidarity do in terms of impacting the enthusiasm that you see around you?
Well, it's hard to say. I hope, what I will say is that I hope that it inspires everyone to get better organized and sustain and develop some organization beyond just this one incident, as we know and can expect it will happen again and again. So there will be need for increased and improved national and international organized solidarity going forward anyway. But what it will end up doing, it's hard to say. I think that people are right now are excited. I think there is a lot of energy, positive energy in the area, in the city and in the area. And I just hope and will do what little I can to contribute to that energy being funneled into really sustained, organized movement building that can link up beyond just a few handful of people coming and passing through into real, again, engaged, organized, and in-step, in solidarity, unionized, or unified, rather, effort. You know, so, but it is good that I will say that I am happy to see and hear about people coming here and engaging. It's inspired me. So I feel a little of that same energy. And I just, again, hope that we make it something that, as has not happened, I think, sufficiently in the past, that far more, much more organized and long term.
I'm Robin Ryan, and you're listening to KBOO News.
Today is May Day, an international day of worker solidarity that has come to focus on immigrant rights in recent years in the United States. This year, May Day marches around the country are also voicing solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement and the current protests in Baltimore. In Portland, a rally began at 3 p.m. with a march at 4, beginning at the South Park blocks at Southeast Park and Salmon. The march is still going on in downtown Portland, and we're going to be joined by reporter Robin Ryan. Hi, Robin, are you there? I believe we're hearing the sounds of the protest in the background here. Robin Ryan, are you there? Well, this is live radio, and we're currently going to a live situation. It sounds like a march in process. It sounds like it's got some real action going on. Unfortunately, we've lost direct contact with Robin Ryan. We'll go ahead and leave that now. Let's hear this chant, though. Well, it sounds like they're saying justice repeatedly, and I can't hear the first part of it, but it sounds like a good march is going on, and we'll get back to you more with information about this march from Robin Ryan, who's there. And now we'll go to our next story.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, followed by Bread and Roses at 6. At 7, Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Tomorrow's weather, sunny with highs of 72, and Sunday also sunny with highs of 75. Today in history, in 1886, protests were held across the U.S. demanding an 8-hour work week. They culminated in the Haymarket Affair, which is now celebrated around the world as International Workers' Day. Also on this day, in 2003, President George W. Bush made the Mission Accomplished speech, in which he said that all major U.S. military operations in Iraq were now over. The quote of the day, "Liberal democracy. As you know, in the old days, we were saying we want socialism with a human face. Today's left effectively offers global capitalism with a human face, more tolerance, more rights, and so on. So the question is this enough or not? Here I remain a Marxist. I think not." Slavo Zizek.
Today is May Day, International Day of Worker Solidarity, and we have Robin Ryan, reporter from KBOO, on the line to talk to us about the rally that and march that's going on right now in Portland. It started at the South Park blocks and I believe has been moving. Robin, are you there? Hi, Robin, are you there? I'm sorry that we had a technical difficulty again. We're having trouble connecting with the May Day March, but if you want to connect with it, it is marching through downtown Portland as I speak, and I think you all know where downtown is, somewhere in the central area near Pioneer Square. I'm sure you could hear it. And right now we'll go to another story. Two female inmates at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility have filed a class action lawsuit against the women's prison in Wilsonville, claiming they are both sexually assaulted by a doctor employed by the facility during medical exams in 2013. Dr. Robert W. Snyder has been identified as the doctor accused of inappropriately conducting gynecological exams of the woman that the lawsuit claimed were done purely for the sexual gratification of Dr. Snyder. The suit also claims multiple constitutional and civil rights violation and seeks a permanent injunction against Dr. Snyder ever working again at the prison. The women had previously sought an investigation within the prison and had threatened multiple times to sue the state. The internal investigation was closed and has since been transferred to the Oregon Police Department. The lawsuit alleges that hundreds, if not thousands, of inmate patients have been potentially assaulted by Dr. Snyder and cites testimony by previous patients attesting to his irregular and inappropriate behavior. Snyder is still employed by Coffee Creek and has worked there since 2006. He has a professional history that includes 34 instances of professional misconduct following an investigation in New York, as well as corrective action agreement in Oregon in 2009.
Tesla, the pioneering energy and electric car company based in the U.S., has unveiled a new home battery that would hook up to solar panels on owners' homes and could provide all the zero carbon energy needed to power a home. Elon Musk, founder of Tesla, said that the goal is complete transformation of the entire energy infrastructure of the world to completely sustainable zero carbon. The device, called the Tesla Powerwall, would cost $3,500. It's expected to be introduced to the U.S. market later this year. Although Musk has said that the battery will be extremely useful in poorer countries where there may not be a connection to the power grid everywhere, but that it is also expressly intended to motivate industrialized nations like the U.S. to get completely off fossil fuels.
The Department of Transportation released new safety standards concerning older railway cars carrying explosive fuels today to much criticism from community and environmental advocacy groups. The older cars are more prone to derailment and no longer meet current safety standards. The new regulations would allow for a 10-year period to phase out the unsafe cars. Critics have called that timeline unacceptable and cite the Department of Transportation's own data projecting that 15 derailments of older oil cars will happen every year. That's 150 derailments before the ban would come into effect. Other critics of the new rules point out that oil cars still don't have adequate speed limits in place and can still be grouped in large continuous blocks of 19 rail cars containing explosive crude. Matt Crowe, campaign director of Forest Ethics Extreme Oil, pointed out that much of the new regulations appear to have been heavily influenced by oil industry lobbyists and said that, quote, 25 million Americans live in the oil train blast zone, and millions more depend on drinking water that is threatened by an oil train disaster, end quote. Accidents involving the older tank cars include the 2013 Lac-Megantic Railway disaster that killed 47 Canadians when an unattended 74-car train derailed and exploded in the town.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Striking port truckers were joined Thursday by San Diego area allies in ambulatory picketing at Toyota. The picketing targeted Toyota cargo being hauled from the ports to Toyota plants in Mexico. The demand was to end wage theft. The striking short-haul port truckers in Los Angeles and Long Beach also want to be classified as employees, not independent contractors. Port truck driver Julio Garcia says being misclassified means business costs are shifted to workers, including some illegal wage theft.
We want to stop the illegal deductions that the companies are making in checks every Friday. So I'm tired about that. All my friends are tired. I need benefits. And I'm raising the voice because I want the company to reclassify me. I want to be an employee. Everybody says that I'm an employee, so I want to be treated as it is.
A Middle Class Health Benefits Tax Repeal Act is being introduced in Congress by Representative Joe Courtney. It would eliminate a tax set to hit high-quality health care plans. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says the bill stands up for working Americans. The tax is scheduled to take effect in 2018 and could be as much as 40% on benefits often negotiated by unions. Supporters of the tax say it will only apply to overly generous health plans, whatever that means. Seattle Council member Kashama Sawant was in court Thursday for disorderly conduct charges against her and other activists stemming from a November protest against Alaska Airlines. Sawant says the airline is refusing to comply with the SeaTac vote mandating a $15 minimum wage and other worker rights. Sawant says instead of putting protesting activists on trial, it's Alaska Airlines that should be on trial for its poverty wages. She says 500 days after the minimum wage law took effect, workers at SeaTac Airport have yet to get the raise that they fought for and that the voters approved. AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Liz Shuler says American workers are suffering these days from severe economic inequality as the presidential election season approaches. Shuler says the nation can't afford it anymore, and politicians running for office must be committed to raising wages and making the economy work for workers.
Most of America is working in an economy that is tilted toward corporations and the super rich, and that has to end. That has to end. America cannot afford it anymore.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Live nationwide weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. at theunionedge.com.
This newscast made possible in part through support from the National Association of Letter Carriers and from ULICO, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Office of Hawaiian Affairs, or OHA, Board of Trustees, voted 6-1 yesterday to rescind its 2009 support for construction of a massive new telescope near the summit of Mauna Kea, the highest peak in the island chain. The 30-meter telescope, or TMT, has already gotten regulatory approval and was set to begin construction, but a rising movement against the project led by Native Hawaiians has forced it to be delayed. An encampment of around 200 people on the mountain is in its fifth week after dozens of protesters blocked the construction site on April 2nd, with 31 people arrested. They vowed to continue their vigil until the project is withdrawn. Acting OHA Chairman Dan Ahuna was the only trustee to vote against the resolution to rescind support for the $1.5 billion project, but only because he wanted the OHA to also oppose it. He said regulatory approvals issued by the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the University of Hawaii over the past 7 years were flawed. A resolution to both rescind support and oppose the project was introduced but failed for lack of support from the board. It's unclear how the resolution could affect the project since the OHA doesn't hold any regulatory power, but it's clearly a sign that the growing protests are having an effect. A standing room only crowd overwhelmingly opposed to the TMT was at the meeting, and most had hoped the Office of Hawaiian Affairs would take a stronger stance against the project, including many of the movement's young leaders. The Office of Hawaiian Affairs is a semi-autonomous public agency of the state of Hawaii that was created in 1978 out of an upsurge of Native Hawaiian activism. It has played a key role in bringing back the Hawaiian language and maintaining traditional Hawaiian culture. It also grants scholarships to Native Hawaiian students, provides home and business loan support for Native Hawaiian organizations, etc. Though its decision has no direct effect on the telescope project, it's a sign that things are changing. The TMT telescope project on a mountain with deep religious and cultural importance to the Hawaiian people has become a flashpoint for long simmering grievances, and the opposition has rekindled a wider movement for Hawaiian sovereignty and independence. On Monday, KBOO's News in Depth reporter Paul Roland will have an audio from the OHA meeting. That's Monday evening. Also on the Monday evening news, we'll have more from the May Day rally and marches today. Sorry about the technical difficulties that prevented us from bringing that to you earlier. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Robin Ryan. The producer is Ethan Martin. Our engineer is Ian Gadberry. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson-Osterland.
I'm Liam Delta. Coming up Monday morning on KBOO at 7, Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on More Talk Radio, Celeste Carey and Cecil Prescott speak with investigative journalist Chris Woods about his new book, Sudden Justice, America's Secret Drone Wars. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour, a program of social and political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein speaks with David Biello, Associate Editor for Environment and Energy at Scientific American, about the challenges, pitfalls, and unintended consequences of relying on geoengineering to solve our carbon emission problems. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speaks with Dan Buettner, author of The Blue Zone Solution. It lays out a plan to maximize your health based on the practices of the world's healthiest people. And at 11:30, Will Hall hosts Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside mental health. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not yet a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now stay tuned for Counterspin, followed by Bread and Roses at 6. Good evening, Linda.
Good evening, Liam.